We've had a bit of a problematic day today, but we have got our final guest. Basically, I don't know if you remember from a recent documentary, but on the 2nd of November 1996, 16-year-old Damien Nettles went out for the evening in his hometown of Cowes on the Isle of Wight. Sadly, he never came home, and his mum is here to share his story from her book, The Boy Who Disappeared. Can you hear me okay, Valerie?
I can hear you. Thank you.
Perfect. Perfect. Listen, I'm really sorry. I've seen lots of documentaries, and I'm really sorry for what's happened. It's been 19 years, and remarkably, still nothing. You're still no closer to finding him.
No, actually, it's nearly 23 years now.
Really? Of course, 96. Of course, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So in November this year, it'll be 23 years, and. And we really haven't had anything concrete. I've had a lot of information, even since I wrote the book and it's been published. I've had a lot of people email me or text message, basically, on Facebook, really, to say, well, I was there on the night and I spoke to Damien and he had some chips and we were sharing those. And so it's just... People came forward to tell me, you know, their version of what they saw that night, which I'd never seen before. And funnily enough, this woman said she'd never been statemented by the police, even though she had a discussion with Damien that night. Her boyfriend was statemented, but she never was asked. And so what she revealed to me about the chips was we never quite understood why he had chips earlier in the evening or where he bought them. But she was there to tell me that he actually shared them with her. And so, to me, that was a bit of a revelation. Then somebody else came forward with even more information about, you know, who did what. Whether it's Chinese whispers, you know, that go around and become a legend and people just keep reiterating that, or whether or not these people actually do have some information that's of value, I don't know. And it's difficult for me right now because it's a cold case. I don't have an active police case, so anything I get, I forward to the cold case team, and it was a whole year before I got a review. Last year was the first year that it was a cold case, and so it was a full year, like last June, and we've decided to keep in touch now on a six-monthly basis, so that's a little bit better. But still, I forward that information to the cold case team, but I have no idea what they do with it, if it's looked at or, you know, I haven't heard back.
Yeah,
so maybe I'll hear at the next six-month review.
Frustrating, I'm sure. Well, you never know. We have a lot of expats here in Spain. With it being 23 years ago, it might just jog someone's memory who used to live on the Isle of Wight. So before we go into the story, which will hopefully jog people's memories, how can people get in touch with you if they think, yeah, I was there then? Did you say Facebook?
Well, I suppose... I would like them to find us on Facebook because we have several Facebook groups. There's a page which is Damien Nettles, The Boy Who Disappeared. So that's a public page. And there are a few groups, Justice for Damien, The Dig for Damien, and The Memories of Damien, mainly for friends who knew him. So they can get me in that direction. Or they can call Hampshire Constabulary and tell them, you know, they've got something to share.
Okay. So basically, he was 60. This was in 1996, as you say, 23 years ago. He went out with Chris Boone, who is his best friend at the time. Mm. Is that right?
Yes. And Chris's family do, I believe, live in Spain now. And there are a few people who I know on the periphery of this story who are in Spain. But yes, Christopher and Damien had gone out for the evening with Christopher's younger brother and basically ended up back on Cowes High Street, which is maybe a half a mile long. I'm not good with distance, but it's very, very small. And there were, you know, a lot of people there that night, and there were a lot of police presence on the high street. And that was something that was confirmed to me in one of those recent emails, was the heavy police presence on the high street. So And that I understood was because of a soccer game, but this person told me there was a party in town they were concerned about, so they had a police presence. So here we go. Here's Damien on the high street, and basically he's just wandering around chatting to people and minding his business like a 16-year-old does, you know, hanging out with friends. And Christopher goes at 10:30 to go home, and Damien wandered back into town, and he apparently was looking for his sister Sarah, who said she might come home from university that weekend, but she hadn't. And so he probably should have known, going out of the house at 7:30 earlier, that she wasn't home and she probably wouldn't be. But he was looking around the pubs for her, trying to get in, and then he was refused entrance to the Fountain, and evidently just wandered around and went and got some more chips. And he's seen on the CCTV with his chips. And that was just 2 minutes after midnight that he was seen there. And then nothing, not seen by anyone anywhere. So all during the evening, people are seeing him. And eventually, when he went missing, people came forward to say, well, I saw him. So we know he was seen on the high street, but 2 minutes after midnight, nobody can tell me that they actually really saw him. There was a sighting. Somebody thought they saw somebody matching Damien's description along Baring Road, which is a road just not far from my house. But it was discounted for a long time by the police. They really didn't do much with that.
It doesn't sound like the police did a great deal at all, to be honest, from what I've heard you say.
Well, they didn't really, not like you would expect, you know, a boy's missing, a 16-year-old's missing, and all the alarm bells start ringing, and, you know, the picture's up on the television, and, you know, there are major searches, fingertip searches being done, and, you know, major TV coverage. That didn't happen. The police tell me that they did do some searches along the seafront. I never saw it. I know my family did the searches. I know that the Coast Guard did something because I could see across the sea from my house, and I could see the Coast Guard cutter going down the mainland coast and then along our coast, and then I could see the helicopter kind of buzzing around. So I think that the Coast Guard did something on the off chance that maybe he'd fallen down, fallen into the sea. So I think that was done, but as far as the land searches, nothing on the scale of what you would expect. Mm. Not till 14 months after he disappeared, they came back and did a search of our neighbourhood area with police dogs, search dogs, and an extra team of officers they brought from the mainland for a two-day search over a weekend. And that's when it popped up that the guy who had thought he'd seen somebody like Damien that night along Baring Road phoned me up and said, how come they're doing this now on the back of this information? He said it was new information. He said, because I told them this the first week he went missing, but nobody ever got back to me.
Shocking.
So he saw it on TV, called up while a reporter was with me, and they actually interviewed him at the time on the television. I think it was BBC. The searches, I think, that could have been done, and the attention and the detail to this case could have been better from the outstart. So consequently, any police investigation thereafter is working on poor information. The CCTV film footage that was of Damien on the high street went missing. They lost
no.
it. So that was just because I'd asked them, can we go back and look at those CCTV cameras just to see who else was on the high street that night?
Yeah.
So I kind of got a bit of a runaround on that for a while. I said, oh, it's been sent off to Netley for enhancement. And then come to find out, they came back to me and said, oh, it appears to have been lost, but there was nothing of operational value on it. Well, Damien was on it.
Of course.
And
we all know that the first few hours of somebody going missing are the most important, aren't they?
They are. And I reported him missing in the afternoon on that Sunday. And I kept calling the police officers at the Carriage police station saying, have you heard anything? And they'd say, no, we've got nothing to report unless you've got something to tell us, Mrs. Neffel. So I said, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know, if I knew anything, I wouldn't be calling
of
you.
Course,
you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so I did ask for the police dogs to go out that night, and I was told it was too wet. The dogs wouldn't have a scent, and the spotter plane was grounded. So I mean, there was just nothing that seemed to be done. And that's my experience, and I'm sad to say that it wasn't a good one.
No, I'm sure it was bad enough without not getting any help. What gets me, I don't know a great deal about the Isle of Wight, but it's not a huge place, is it? Is it? So, you know, you think with it being a small place, it wouldn't be this hard to find something. Even if, God forbid, even if it's a body, at least you'd have some closure, wouldn't you?
This is true. And, you know, obviously the tide was out at 3 a.m. So if he had fallen in the sea around, you know, midnight, the tide would probably have pushed him back into the beach. We talked to the harbour master about that, so we're not quite sure. I guess it's always a possibility that he could have fallen in the sea, but it's likely that with the tides the way they are, according to the harbour master at the time, he could very likely have been washed back up. So, and I did see the air and sea searches happening with the Coast Guard. But... And I'm assuming that was for Damien. I always assumed it was. How you disappear, I've been told that Damien was chopped up and put in a lobster pot.
Oh.
I've been told he was chopped up and thrown in something and burned. I've been told that he was buried in the marshes. I've been told that he was put in a canvas bag and buried in the copse in Gernard. And... I've been told, you know, several things that happened supposedly to Damien, and I'm not quite sure which one to believe.
Oh, I'm sure you didn't really need to hear that.
Yeah, we feel like maybe he... And I can't understand, you know, if it was... It wouldn't have been a premeditated thing. It would have been, if something happened to Damien, somebody would have maybe punched him and maybe fell down dead, which is what I've been told. And someone else said he choked on his own vomit. So, but why would you bury him, dispose of him in that way?
Mm.
It begs a lot of questions,
yeah.
But it all seems to come back to that same theory. So maybe there's some truth in it somewhere. We're left wondering, basically.
It's a mystery, it really is. Mm. Were any, either in the beginning or over the last 23 years, were any arrests made? Were there any suspects at all?
Oh, yeah. Well... Not until, was it 2010, 2011, there was some searches done by a team of police officers that were divers, and they went into a marshland near Newport off the back of some information that had been coming in. And they'd also done a search of a chalet on Gernard Marsh. And then they did... a total of 8 arrests on suspicion of murder. So Damien's case was elevated at that point to suspicion of murder. And so they did the searches, they made arrests, people were on bail. There was a total of 8, but I think there was maybe 5 that were really left on bail for a period of time. For at least over a period of 18 months, this went on with the bail. The last person that was still standing, they had... referred his case to CPS, but they said that there wasn't enough there for this person to be charged with anything, and he walked away. Evidently, he had statement witnesses in his hand, because I heard from certain witnesses who said that they were being intimidated by this individual who evidently had police. Although he wasn't being charged with anything, somehow he'd been given the police statement. And that's, I mean, all I can tell you is that, you know, that there were witnesses who had given statements who said that he had been intimidating them. Mm. So that's all I can tell you is what I've been told. And So nobody was actually charged with it. And the level of the case was reverted back to missing person. So Damien's case, with all of that background and everything, is still a missing person's cold case. It's not being treated as a potential murder.
Wow. It's really is quite shocking to hear. And I know that you've since left the Isle of Wight. You're now living somewhere else. Yeah. Is that because of the memories? Is that because people kept telling you all these different stories?
No, not at all. It was purely financial, because my husband had lost his job and we had to go somewhere. The only job that really was of substance that he was offered was over here in America. And at first I was like, absolutely not, I can't leave. Well, over a period of time, long story short, I was kind of like drip fed the idea. And so eventually, and I thought, well, maybe this would be a bad thing for my other children who still were dependent on us. Mm. And we could, at the time, this is like 2001, and at the time I thought, well, you know, I can always pop back to England and see people and deal with this and this phone, email and that sort of thing. But then 9/11 hit.
Right.
Just after we moved here, and now airfares have tripled. Mm. You know, doubled or tripled, depending on the time of year. So it's not quite so easy.
Yeah.
But I have been able to keep on it with emails, phone calls, social media now, which we didn't have back then, to try. And that's where a lot of this is coming to me, is via social media. I get messages a lot, and on our, you know, Damien Facebooks.
Yeah.
And I'm on Twitter and Instagram, so...
So we can find you. Do we put in your name, Valerie Nettles, or Damien's name in, if it's like Instagram?
In Instagram, it's me, Valerie Nettles. Okay. Twitter, I have a Damien Nettles one, and I have Val Nettles one.
Right. I've just got...
I mean, Val Nettles with a one.
Yes, we can find you. I've just got the Facebook page, Justice for Damien Nettles, so I shall join that group and share it as well, just in case any...
And we have a website, okay. It's damiennettles.uk, damiennettles.uk. It's a very comprehensive website.
Okay, brilliant. Well, like any mother, you've never given up hope, and let's hope that the book might just jog someone's memory, or this interview. The book is called The Boy Who Disappeared. It's by Valerie Nettles, Damien's mum, who we're chatting to now, and we're selling it on our website, Valerie. It's tre.radio.
Oh, super. Thank you.
You're welcome. Listen, thank you so much for sharing what must have been very difficult for you to talk about even now, and anything we can do, let us know at TRE. Thank you.
Okay, thank you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.